Well, you'll never be lonely. You've got us. We're here for you all the time. Up next, Caroline Corey joins us. We're going to be talking about her work of Mind Over Matter. So get ready for that on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Let me tell you a little bit about Caroline Corey. She was on with us a couple of years ago with my colleague Dave Schrader at the time, award-winning filmmaker, meditation teacher, author of a number of books on consciousness and energy medicine. Now, as a child and throughout her life, she has been able to perceive subtle energy and has had numerous psi experiences and other outworldly encounters, as we would say. These experiences led her to become deeply connected to spirituality, as well as existential topics, the study of consciousness and the mechanics of the universe. Now, after teaching energy medicine and consciousness work for more than a decade, she found the Optimum Media Company. Optimum, I think that's what it is, an entertainment and media platform that tackles various thought-provoking topics on the human condition. Caroline, what is the name of your media company?
It's Omnium.
Omnium.
Yeah, it's Latin.
That's interesting. How have you been?
I'm great. Actually, we met, we were together a couple of months ago.
Yes, we were.
Yeah,
we were.
How are you?
But you were on the show with my colleague Dave Schrader back, I think, around March of 2018, weren't you?
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. Everything's good. How about you? More conferences, events? How about you?
Yeah. We're actually getting ready to release the film the next couple of months.
Superhuman?
Yeah, we're super busy with that. So, you know.
You've been at that for a while. It's time to get it out there.
I know. You know, I'm so excited about it, and everybody's getting excited about it because we've been talking about it. So it's like, you know, we need to get it out, you know.
So. How did you get started in this field of psi and mind over matter and all that?
Yeah, so for me, it started when I was very young. I was 5 years old. And I had an experience. I realized that I could see people's energy. I could read their consciousness. I knew what was going on with them and how to heal them. I also could see spirit beings and communicate with them. So, of course, at the time, at 5 years old, you don't think anything. You think everybody, you know, all kids can do that.
That's right.
You know, and so it was very natural. It felt, it wasn't scary or anything like that. So because of this, I continued to expand on it and research and go deeper into the subject. I kept asking the question, like, what did my brain do in order to, you know, receive these telepathic messages or see people's energy and know things before they happen? And so because of this, I got into the field of consciousness, and I developed a whole methodology that I called Omnium, which actually means...
Change it to Optimum.
Yeah. You know, well, actually, it actually means something important to me, which is the basis of all of my methodology and teaching. Omnia means a particle of the whole. And basically, everything, your body is part of a larger, bigger consciousness. And if you understand that principle, you can heal yourself because you tap into a larger, unified field of all knowing, if you will. And so I developed a methodology for healing and for consciousness expansion. And as I was doing healing on other people, I realized, of course, things were happening. They would be sick, and all of a sudden they're not sick, or they're in pain, and then they're not in pain. So after doing this with hundreds of people for years and years and years, I realized what I was doing is mind over matter, because I was affecting the chemistry and the physiology of those people. And so that got me very intrigued. And then I started working with scientists to quantify, like, how can we measure that? And this is how, you know, it got me into this whole world of mind over matter, and eventually I wanted to do a film about it.
Would you call it supernatural, Caroline?
You know, it's, to me, it's so natural. That's why it's kind of mind-boggling for you too, George. I'm sure you're so used to it because you've been in this field for so long.
Yeah.
It's such a natural phenomenon. It's kind of strange that people still call it supernatural. And I think everyone is born with this ability. We just don't know how to harness it. We don't know what it is, first of all. And we don't know how to master it. And so that's the reason why we keep calling it supernatural, paranormal. So I'm hoping actually with this film to make it a little bit more acceptable and, you know, relatable and more mainstream, I'm hoping.
Yeah, we'll get into this film in just a second, but what do you mean by mind over matter? What really is that definition?
So it's the ability of the consciousness, the focus of your mind, to have a physiological effect, a physical effect on a physical substance.
Is it like telekinesis, moving objects, things like that?
It could be anything. It could be water. It could be an electrical device, an electronic device, or a piece of paper that is, telekinesis. Or, for example, in the movie we've demonstrated, we showed many people, not just kids, but adults as well, from all around the world, who are able to read, for example, and work and play and do all kinds of stuff completely blindfolded. And we were able to test that scientifically to see, to measure the amount of light in their mask, so to prove that there was no light. And yet, they were able, through the power, the concentration of their mind, transcend their visual, their normal ability to perceive, and they could just function without their physical eyes. I mean, that is the mastery of mind over matter. It's incredible.
Can we be trained to do this, or do you have to be born with the gift?
I think everybody's born with the potential. And in fact, a lot of children, just like myself, spontaneously tap into it. They all of a sudden they start to see things and sense things, and that everybody else, you know, people around them cannot see. And so they're extremely sensitive to things that are non-physical and non-visible. But what happens is, of course, everybody around them tells them, hey, there's nothing there, stop doing that, don't talk to invisible things, you know. So before you know it, they shut it down. You know, we shut down this ability, this natural ability that we all have. And because of this, you have to kind of retrain yourself. You have to relearn all of this. So having said that, even for those who are very sensitive, even for myself, there's still training to be done. Like, you still have to, especially with the blindfold or the telekinesis, you have to kind of figure out how your consciousness is connecting to this physical object or this physical substance, and figure out how to improve it, how to move it, how to make it do one thing versus another. I mean, it's a whole discovery and definitely training.
Tell us about Superhuman, the invisible made visible.
So Superhuman, so like I said, because I've been doing this for so many years, I said, okay, it's time to show people that this is not just talk. This is not
just theory. It's real.
Yeah, it's not just a theory. Because, you know, we've been hearing, we've been told for years and years and years now that thinking positive thoughts affect your health, affect your stress level, your mind, affect your physical reality, all of that. Okay, we know this now, but what I wanted to show in the film is how that is actually happening. So we not only show people who are demonstrating these skills, but we do experiments and demonstrations, with scientists. To show how the mind is actually, we take measurements, we use devices, and we show the before and after, so to speak.
Interesting, since you were doing this.
Because these are scientific experiments, you know, it's no longer a theory. It's like, okay, this is how or why we can say, if my consciousness is focusing on water, we've measured the pH of water over several days, over several hours, and we have a measurement now. That is the baseline. And the moment that I choose to focus my intent on the pH, the measurement changes. it shoots up, you know, 100%, 200%, 400%, depending on the day. And the minute that I stop focusing on it, it goes back to the baseline. And then we repeat it again and again and again. And so this is how we know scientifically that it is the consciousness, the intent, that had this physiological, this physical effect and measurable effect on water. So
yeah, Dr. Emoto, before he passed on, was a guest in our studio years ago, Caroline, and, you know, talked about his experiments with water by playing nice music or harsh music, depending on how you look at it. But when he would look under frozen water samples under a microscope, the water that was exposed to what we would call pleasant music looked gorgeous. I mean, yeah, beautiful. And then the music that was exposed to the harsh music was just scattered everywhere under a microscope. Looked unbelievable.
Exactly, exactly. So he did this incredible, very visual demonstration of how the intent actually has an effect on the water. And we did with pH, for example, in the film, we measured the pH of water and we intended to raise it up or bring it down. And that also, that experiment also was done by William Tiller, I think in the 80s. And he was very successful demonstrating how the consciousness, the intent, can change the pH in water. And so that's what we redid. We redid that in the film. And, of course, we did many others in the film, but just as an example. So we were able to replicate it over and over. And that is, to me, the reason why I wanted to redo this experiment in the film is to demonstrate, you know, we're made of water. And so if we can change, and we know that an acidic environment is not good for the body, it's usually attracting, attracts viruses or bacteria. And so if you can change the pH in the water, then you can change it in your body. So if you can do that over and over, then you can maintain a perfect pH in your body and therefore be able to neutralize viruses and bacteria. So this is very significant. That is the reason why I wanted to redo this experiment.
Is consciousness, does it originate in the brain or outside of the physical brain?
Yeah, this is a great question. So it's definitely to me, because of all these experiments and the experiences that I've had and I've had with many others as well, I can definitely say that consciousness is fundamental, meaning it is, it comes before anything else existed. It's a primal substance that comes in contact with the physical world. In fact, from, I think the physical world comes from consciousness, after consciousness, so it's the other way around. And so it's definitely, it's interacting with the physical brain, but it's not a result of the brain functioning.
So it sounds like you're saying it's outside of the brain.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so it's outside of the brain. It takes on, when you take on a body, you incarnate in a body. Now it's part of your brain, and it's interacting with your brain. And so, for example, when you, of course, there's the autonomic nervous system that is telling your brain, your body, how to breathe and how to, you know, do the things or digest your food or whatever. You don't have to, that is kind of an automatic system. But when you, that system doesn't tell you what career path or who to choose to, you know, to have a relationship with or whatever. Those bigger questions or decisions or, for example, free will topics come from a higher consciousness space. It's not your brain that comes up with this idea. It's your higher consciousness that wants to attract those experiences that then triggers your physical brain to have a feeling about it. So then you can, that triggers you to go out and look for a job or, you know, connect with this person or find this relationship and so on and so forth. So to me, that's a very, very clear understanding of how consciousness is the originator of free will and our higher understanding or higher knowledge.
Where does remote viewing fit into this?
Remote viewing is just one more ability, because of course there's so many abilities. When you understand the principle that your consciousness is larger, is beyond your physical form and your physical body, you also realize that consciousness is everywhere. It transcends time and space. So basically, it's everywhere all at once. And because of that, it is basically non-local. If it is non-local, then you can tap into information that is very far from where you are located. And so that is remote viewing. So wherever you are, you can still tap into information on the other side of the planet. That happens through your consciousness that then transfers the information to your physical brain that then transfers it or translates it into a human language. Then you can explain what you are seeing or what you are experiencing. So remote viewing happens because consciousness is non-local.
Tell us a story that might deal with consciousness that has affected you since you've been doing all this.
Oh, my gosh, there's so many. there's some that have to do with healing, for example, others with seeing things that happened before, you know, they came out in the news or things like that. But, for example, in terms of healing, I've worked with so many individuals, but and most people are remote. I work with them remotely because they're located in Australia or in Europe, mm-hmm. or what have you. And so they're struggling with something for years and years and years, and they've tried all kinds of things. And so I'm able to tap into their consciousness and see the root cause of what actually brought this up. And that brings me to sometimes to not just the time in childhood, but even before they were born, or sometimes when they are not just in a past life, but in another form on another planet. So, you know, it could go very, very far, and it sounds very far-fetched, but then sometimes, like one time, I found that this person was struggling with asthma, and I saw that the real root cause was that she was actually another type of being that did not breathe like we breathe here on Earth.
What was she?
Oh, it's a type of being that breathes actually from Venus. In Venus, there are beings that breathe through the skin. And so anyway, that doing that sort of regression of that sort of kind of time travel and remote viewing, it's all the same thing, actually, you know. But anyway, to retrace back the origin of her current condition, it took me all the way back to that point. And I saw that she didn't know how to breathe down here in a way because she had a different type of respiratory system when she had that form. And so we changed that programming. We completely reprogrammed her to be able to let go of that old way of breathing and, you know, kind of adapt to the human form. And the minute we did that, you know, her asthma went away. So things like that, like, sound crazy and out there and miraculous, but I do this all the time and it happens like that, you know.
The question is, what makes it happen? Caroline, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. Next hour, of course, we'll open up the phone lines where, you can ask her a question or share a story with us that has to do with mind over matter. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you. Caroline Corey with us as we talk about her work. Her book, by the way, includes The Divine Plan. She has an ebook called The Visible and Invisible Worlds, and the film that they are finishing up is called Superhuman. Caroline, when that film comes out, how can people watch it?
Yeah, they can just go to the website, superhumanfilm.com, and, you know, they'll see, watch the film. They can click there and have all the information.
Okay, great. Do you have a YouTube channel going yet?
Sorry?
Do you have a YouTube channel going yet?
Yeah, we're working on that as well. But what people can do as well is go to the website and just sign up there's a sign-up link, and, you know, that way we can send them information as soon as it goes out. It comes out, and also if we have a sneak preview or some sort of special event, you know, they can take advantage of that as well.
And when we talk about mind over matter, the ability to be able to do this, can we change people's minds, change outcomes of events with this?
Absolutely. I mean,
you're giggling. How come?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're not supposed to be using it for that.
But you can.
Yeah. I mean, you can definitely. I mean, because people have free will. So if I go to a job interview, for example, I mean, I can put an intent and kind of project my intent on that person to hire me. Definitely, especially if I'm trained and I know how to do this, of course I'm going to influence his way of thinking for sure. So, but you know, at the same time, he does have free will, and so he can still override what you're projecting. But other people can be very easily influenced, and you know, the idea of this and the reason why I am doing this work now and demonstrating, not just talking about this, but demonstrating how our mind does affect our physiology, our physical reality, is to empower people, because there's so many people who, you know, do affirmation, they understand the law of attraction, they know their mind has an effect on their stress level or what have you. But I think this film will bring that validation, that kind of when you see it scientifically with your own eyes, and you see so many people around the world doing these incredible things, I'm hoping that this will empower people to say, wait, I can do this. I've done this before. I know how to do this. And so that's really the purpose.
Isn't the best time, Caroline, to do this also, though? Let's say if you want to concentrate on that person who's going to hire you, to do it right before your dream state, before you go to sleep?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's, you know, of course, there's training that you have to do every day, you know, especially with the mind quieting. So I do, I usually train people with a special meditation technique, because not all meditations are the same. Many people meditate differently, and different meditations do different things. But when you want to do something with mind over matter, you have to know how to not just quiet the mind, but you want to focus it and target it very accurately. It's like a laser. So, because some meditation just makes you feel like calm and happy or peaceful. That's not good enough, because it doesn't mean that you can target, for example, water or somebody else's consciousness with specificity. So it's a special meditation technique, and once you do it regularly, then you're able to just basically switch. You know, it's like a muscle, you know, you train yourself to go to that way of moving your mind from point A to point B very quickly, so that in a normal 3D life, you know, as you're going about your day, you meet someone, you can quickly focus. But of course, if you're you know, somebody is about to hire you for a job, you're going to prepare for it beforehand, but also during, because if the person says something you weren't expecting, you know, you have to be able to switch your mind and
focus. Sure, you got to be ready for it.
Exactly. And also another thing, you know, what's happening, I think this is very relevant. You know, I just talked about this in the beginning of the year, is this whole, you know, 5G and AI and chemtrails and vaccines. And, you know, we're going to be bombarded with all kinds of toxicity all around us. But with this 5G, this Internet of Things, you know, that connects all the robots and the machines and the dishwashers and the garage openers, and, you know, all this technology that is becoming very prevalent, you know, everywhere, it's going to get worse and worse. And so, as you know, 5G has a very strong effect on the physical brain and physiology. And so this is the time more than ever before to know how to detect, how to discern, like, wait, I'm walking into this space. I can feel the magnetism. I can feel, I can discern something weird's going on. I know how to switch my brain to quickly raise my vibration, go from this point to that point. You know what I mean? So this brain, this mind training is going to be more useful than ever before.
How important is positive thinking with all of this?
Yeah, absolutely. So everything is vibration. So positive thinking is a vibration that you're tapping into. And if, for example, other people or other situation have a lower vibration, they're coming from a place of control or competitiveness or anger or what have you, you know, it's a lower vibration. Having said that, you know, it's a little bit like affirmation. People think that by thinking positive or saying positive things, that things can change. To me, this is very simplistic. It's not just that, because, for example, let's say you have a physical condition. If you keep telling yourself, I'm fine, I'm perfect, I have perfect health, I feel good, you know, it will help. I'm not saying it doesn't help. Of course, it's fantastic because you're raising your vibration. But the information that is in your body that has created this condition is still there. So you have to do two things. First, you have to delete, you have to take out that condition, that frequency, that information from your cells, and then put in the new information, which is the positive thinking and the affirmation. Does that make sense?
Sure does. Tell us a remarkable story, if you would, Caroline, of the children in the movie Superhuman who were doing things blindfolded, but they were able to see and read and things like that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's amazing.
It's crazy. And, you know, even like the crew, they've never seen anything like that. They weren't prepared. every time we would encounter these kids and adults as well, by the way, and all over, not just in one location, I mean, it's just like mind-blowing. So of course, children have the ability to learn this technique much easier because their brain is more... they're just more open to suggestion. If you tell them visualize light, they visualize it. It's, you know, they don't question it. If I tell visualize light to an adult, sometimes they'll say, well, I don't know how to visualize. You know, it's like they think about everything, whereas kids, they just do it. And so because of that, it was fascinating. These kids, the first ones we met were in the UK, and they can read, they can play ball, they can do all sorts of, like, normal, they can walk around and play with little, all kinds of, like, normal child behavior, completely blindfolded. And so, for example, also to test them, because people would say if they watch the film, they'll say, like, oh, wait a minute, maybe they just memorized the books that they're reading. Okay, well, I took a piece of paper and I wrote down something that they didn't know what I was going to write, you know, and I would show them that piece of paper and they were able to read it. So things like that, we were able to demonstrate that they really were seeing through the blindfold. And then we encountered adults and that were using different techniques differently than the kids. And there's a Russian group as well that we worked with. They're called InfoVision. And these guys, they did a scientific demonstration where they worked with a scientist from Italy, University of Bari in Italy, and a neuroscientist and a physicist. And what they did is they put a device, basically a way to measure the amount of light inside the mask. And they were able to see that there was no light whatsoever, like there's no photons being detected at all by this device. And yet, the person was able to see. Not only that, they were able to see and read and discern colors and everything else, but also their brain waves, because they had the EEG things going on their mm-hmm. brain. Even their brain was behaving as if it was absorbing light. So that's like mind-boggling. How is it possible that, you know, the brain is behaving and their visual, you know, abilities is working, and there's no light whatsoever, because we know that we have to have light reflected on the environment in order for us to see. That's how our visual system works. So no light technically means
no seeing.
See. Yeah. So that's how we were able to show scientifically that this was true.
Who's more receptive to this, adults or children?
Oh, children, for sure.
By far. How come?
Well, yeah, because they're just very, they're just so
open-minded, more open-minded?
Yeah, they're open. And also, like, they don't think about, wait, does this make sense, and I shouldn't be able to do it. They don't overthink anything. You just tell them, you can see in your body and you can see outside of your body. And they'll be like, oh, okay. You know, then they start to see. You tell them, you can see from your skin. You can see from every cell in your body. And then they can just see. I mean, it's incredible. So that's the reason why, of course, it's much, much better to start at a very young age.
Now, I wouldn't drive a car with my eyes closed, though.
Well, actually, yeah. I mean.
You would?
You probably don't need to do that. But
stay off the road if you're there. Huh?
Yeah. But, for example, there's a group in Utah. I mean, people will watch the film, and also it's in the trailer. People can just watch the trailer on the website. We show a few clips of I think a few kids, three kids or something like
You've
that.
You've got Corey Feldman in the movie.
Yeah, yeah,
you?
Yeah. So also what I wanted to do is I didn't want to just make it like scientists and experts and just, you know, I wanted to make it more fun and more interactive, and not just me being the only one, you know, going around doing experiments. So I invited a few celebrities, you know, like to just try some of these experiments, and it was a lot of fun.
Did they learn things? Did things shock them at all?
It was that, and also, like, when we do these things, people don't realize, we don't prepare, we don't know what the result is going to be, even though we've done an experiment, you know, 100 times, but when we're rolling the cameras, it's very difficult, because, as you know, mind over matter, this is not, you know, it's your consciousness, so it's subjective. So, for example, your emotional state, your mental state, everything is important. You have to be in a very quiet, focused state. And when you have camera and light and, you know, the audio guy is saying, wait, the mic's not working, and I mean, you know how that goes. It's very difficult to concentrate.
Have you found that negativity, Caroline, kind of squashes this from working?
Yes, absolutely. And I've had to sometimes, for example, the PA would be sitting in a corner or somewhere, but I could tell they're like projecting this thought of
PAB, the production assistant.
Yeah. Like, or somebody, you know, like they're projecting this thought of doubt.
They didn't get it, did they?
Yeah. They like really negative, but not being mean or anything. Just kind of like, this will never work, or, you know, this is like magic or something. And so that energy, I've had to tell people sometimes to just go take a break and check their messages, their text messages outside the room, because I could feel that was affecting the person that was trying to do the experiment. And so they would walk out of the room, and we did some incredible thing with one of the actresses, Rachel Brooks-Smith. She also, we brought her in. She had never done anything like this. And we did telekinesis with her. We moved, you know, we used a piece of paper on a needle, basically. And, you know, we cover it with glass. And, you know, we showed her how to affect the piece of paper so that it could rotate. And she did incredibly well. We had 6 cameras on that day. So, you know, with all the stress and all the the noise and the people trying to kind of project their thoughts and their doubt, she was able to move it. It's incredible.
That's amazing. Caroline, we're going to come back and talk more about consciousness and mind over matter, and we'll take phone calls, stories, and questions for you next on Coast to Coast AM.